It's time for JT the Brick.
Let's go. Let's pick up the pace. There are high expectations for this team. The Raiders have an established offensive line. You might not love it, but Colt Miller, Dylan Parham, Andre James, we got some big dudes
today. Who's going to start that first game? Aiden O'Connell, one. Gardner Minshew, two.
I want the ball out. I want the ball out quickly. I want slants. Will the ball get out? One Mississippi, two Mississippi, out.
JT the Brick.
And in the last regime, we took too much time in between plays for no apparent reason. We got to get Brock Bowers the ball all the time. He is a gift from the sports gods handed to us in Vegas. If Bowers comes in with 73 receptions and 11 touchdowns or 9 touchdowns, that changes everything. If I'm wrong, you know where to find me.
And now,
get him the ball.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT. Bobby's back today. We got a busy show lined up. Man, it's great every day to have a show from noon to 2. Last night I had one from 4 to 7. Got a nice Raider event tonight. A chalk talk over at the stadium. There's going to be a practice over at Raiders headquarters for those who were fortunate enough to get in. And then we have a stadium wide open practice coming up on Wednesday that I'm going to play a pretty big role with on the sidelines, and I'm excited to tell you about that. That's going to have a big crowd, man. I like to count crowd size when I have a microphone. That's going to be a big one. Not going to break into my Mount Rushmore, but it could be 35 to 40,000 people coming out to the Raiders practice. You know, other teams have big stadium practices too, but we're Raider Nation. Raider Nation has fans in Vegas, Oakland, Los Angeles, globally here, so hopefully you're in town to see practice, and a lot of people are going to come in. We're on YouTube. People are in there already. Already talked to them, JT the Brick YT. That's part of the show. Subscribe and share, and we'll get you rolling into this practice tomorrow, which I think is going to be really important because the Raiders don't have any padded practices, joint practices lined up. The Niners just canceled with the Saints because the Niners are banged up. So you want to have joint practices, or you want to play your players more in the preseason. I believe everyone in Raider Nation is pretty happy about the amount of snaps that players got. We saw Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins. You know, we're waiting on Colt Miller and Jackson Powers Johnson, right? We're waiting on those guys. Let's go. Let's go. We need the offensive line. Let's go. Bring them along when they're ready. When they're ready, we'll tell you. But hopefully it's sooner than later, as Coach Pierce said yesterday. And then today is Nathan Peterman Day. I woke up, you know, I got a whole bunch of different text groups. And I got my Buffalo boys. It says Buffalo boys on the text, and they're all from Buffalo or in around there. I went to college with them, and they got up and they gave me some fun laughs on Nathan Peterman. Said Nathan Peterman again. Nathan Peterman's a good break the glass reserve quarterback who understands playbooks. And I guess the Raiders want to take a look at another quarterback, and Nathan Peterman is the guy. Now, as I was on the call in Minneapolis, I wasn't impressed with our third and fourth string quarterback because they didn't want any plays to win the game. They didn't want to run any boots or, you know, do anything or quarterback draws or throw it to the tight end. That told me a lot. We could win the game. It's a football game. Just throw a 7-yard pass. Minnesota's got to burn through all their timeouts and the game's over. But no, they just handed it off into a pile. And I don't think that Brown looked really good. Carter Bradley, I haven't seen much of. I didn't see much of him other than some camp throws. And if they want to bring in Peterman to be the third string or compete for the third string, great. Great. Nathan Peterman is a pretty good third string quarterback. If you got to bring him in there. But we are not the show of the practice squad. But in football now, the quarterbacks, you got to have three. So even if you think the quarterback is not going to play, if he's the third-string quarterback, man, I used to talk about this with the late, great David Hum. Ray Guy was a quarterback. He was an emergency quarterback. You got to have a quarterback in case your starter's injured, right? So your starter has an injury. He's out. Then your backup, who's pretty good, in this case the Raiders, Aiden O'Connell and Minshew, they get clobbered in a game. You got to bring in that third quarterback. He better be able to play. Peterman can play. He doesn't play at a high level, but he can play. So that's about as much attention as that topic's going to get. That's about it. It's sad to see J.J. McCarthy's going to need knee surgery. He played well against the Raiders' backups. So what? Everybody plays backups in the preseason. But I thought he played pretty well. And J.J. McCarthy's going to have knee surgery now after tests revealed that the rookie quarterback has a tear in the meniscus in his right knee. So we'll see what happens here. This doesn't seem like it's going to be a long-term injury. The coach, Kevin O'Connell, confirmed earlier today saying it occurred during the Raider game, obviously. He threw the second of his two touchdown passes on the final play and left only after he played 30 snaps. So McCarthy did not mention any pain or soreness until reporting it Monday to the team medical officials. And he said he loves you, Vikings Nation. There's no such thing as Viking Nation. He said Viking Nation. There's only one nation. It's Raider Nation. Stop. There's no such thing as Red Sox Nation and NASCAR Nation and Viking Nation. There's one nation, the Raider Nation. Get our names out of your mouth, okay? You're on the opposite team. But I like J.J. McCarthy. When I was finishing the game on the bus, heading to the airport, I tweeted out that McCarthy should be the starter over Sam Darnold. That won't happen now. So Sam Darnold will have that job. And I don't know if it could be a 4-week, 10-week injury, but he was a top 10 pick. He was taken number 10 overall after they were able to move and shake and go up there and get him. Remember, the Raiders could have got J.J. McCarthy. They were picking a 13. They couldn't trade up to get Jaden Daniels. They won Michael Penix. I don't think they wanted Bo Nix. They could have got J.J. McCarthy. Looking back, he's injured now. It's a fluke. But I like the kid. He won a national championship, so it's kind of a bummer that he's out there. So we'll see how that plays out. The other news with quarterback injuries is what's happening in our first opponent against the L.A. Chargers. Today we continue to find out that Justin Herbert's in a boot, which what that means is with his plantar fasciitis, he is taking no snaps. He is not taking any snaps with the team. So I'm expecting him to play against the Raiders in week one, and he's not going to have any snaps going into that game. They're not going to play him in the preseason. He's not going to practice. Maybe the week of the game, obviously, if he's going to play at home against the Raiders, then you get him out there the week of, and you play him. And I don't know what you do on game day, shoot him up or not, but that's an injury that we're keeping an eye on. The other couple of other big storylines have to do with Brandon Ayuk. As we hit the show, it looks like Brandon Ayuk has the ball in his court. There is a deal potentially in place for Brandon Ayuk to go to the Steelers, but you got to see if the Niners are going to sign off on this deal. And I think the Niners are pretty much getting sick and tired of him. And you can rub your team. You really can rub your team the wrong way. If you're under contract and you want more money, which happens often, but you continue to be a pain in the blank and you start embarrassing your team, and then your coach cancels a practice with the Saints in Orange County because guys are hurt and you're not around. So the update 1 hour ago, this is 1 hour ago for me and Rappaport, the Steelers and the 49ers have a deal on a potential trade, and Pittsburgh is in a good place on the IU contract going forward. If San Francisco gives the final sign-off, it's done. Okay, so let's break down what that means. Pittsburgh is going to trade for Brandon Ayuk, and then they're going to have to pay him. Ayuk doesn't want to play for the money he's getting from the Niners. So he won't play in Pittsburgh unless he gets a new deal. Pittsburgh is okay with that. They'll give him new money. That's where the agent is negotiating that. The issue becomes, what will the Niners get in return? Because the Niners aren't going to get much in return this late. But the Niners are a team that, like every team, is going to want draft picks and equity and to move up and go get a player here. I said this before, I'll say it 100 times. If Brandon Ayuk is moved from the Niners window's over. That's how I see it. I could be wrong. I still think the Niners are a playoff team. But if they don't have Brandon Ayuk and Debo gets banged up a lot, they treat him like a fullback, let alone a running back and a receiver, I think that is a devastating loss for the 49ers. Period. And we have 49er fans who listen to the show, because I want everybody to listen to the show, not just Raider fans. I want a national show that's on a great feed coming through the Raiders, and I'm going to talk about football and other teams. He's a good player. He'd be a good fit with the Raiders, obviously, but the Raiders, I think, are heavy at wide receiver. For those who are worried about the Raider depth at wide receiver, don't worry. We got a new receiver. His name is Brock Bowers. He's a wide receiver. He's a slot receiver. He can do it all. So we got Jacoby Myers, Devontae Adams, Trey Tucker, Brock Bowers, Michael Mayer, and all of that. So with all of that that is out there, you know, the Raiders are okay. Could they, you know, out in the back end with DJ Turner, players like that, it's always good to have a fifth or sixth receiver that can make a play. But the league is built on ones and twos, the first receiver and the second receiver. I think the Raiders are okay here. So that is big news. And then the other story, other than the injuries, the big story is CeeDee Lamb with the Cowboys, and he will not play here in Vegas coming up this weekend, which I'm bummed out about. I wanted CeeDee Lamb to start to go up against Jack Jones and Jakorian Bennett or whoever's going to play the other corner. That's the one guy I wanted to see. I wanted to see CeeDee Lamb kind of cause some havoc, run a couple of routes there. He's not going to play because he hasn't reported to the Dallas Cowboys. And the Cowboys know they have to pay him, and I think Jerry Jones is getting close to paying him. But, man, they need a lot of money to pay him. They're paying Micah Parsons. They got to pay him a lot of money. Dak is not under contract for next year. That's going to cost a lot of money. So with all this happening here, you know, if you want to have great players, you got to pay them. And you got to get some discounts, and you got to restructure contracts, and you got to sign the right players at the right time. And that's what Tom Telesco is here to do. Tom is here to look at what Dave Ziegler did and Mike Mayock beforehand and say, you know, Max Crosby was a Mike Mayock guy. Dave Ziegler drafted some good players and say, look, we're going to keep you guys or not. We like your contracts. We're going to give you more or give you a restructure. And then Tom Telesco takes over, and I think he's pretty sharp when it comes to contracts with Tom Delaney and everybody in the building to try to figure out how to fit certain players in. And if the Raiders start winning more, which we've been waiting for patiently, they're going to be able to recruit players, right? They're going to be able to recruit players to go play, like the Warriors are able to do in the Bay Area. If they need a sixth, seventh, eighth player, you know, they want to play with Steve Kerr and Steph Curry. We got to get that happening over here with the silver and black. So those are a couple of quick storylines. Malik Nabers should be ready for week one for the Giants here overall. And then the Reddick move. Hassan Reddick is requesting a trade from the Jets. I was on Mad Dog Sports Radio last night, and I thought I made a good point when I said this is an Aaron Rodgers problem now. Aaron Rodgers has got to come in and negotiate. He's Mr. Big Shot in New York. If he wants to win, you need Hassan Reddick, and Hassan Reddick wants a trade. Now, the Raiders don't need him because the Raiders have Malcolm Kuntz and Max Crosby, and we have a seventh pick overall in Tyree Wilson. You know, we need corners. We need another starting corner potentially. We got to figure out what's going to happen at left guard with JPJ or maybe right tackle, depending on how our right tackles play. We got some youth in DJ Glaze and Thayer Mumford. But with all this happening now, we got to make up our mind on which team is going to be the final team. And I'm sensing that Antonio Pierce is in that scenario where he's going to make that decision on the quarterback after this game. And we'll go from there. So that's what we're doing today. This is quarterback week. It's very simple what I'm trying to do. I got a couple of guests every day. We got a lot of meetings, a lot of things happening here. We're trying to get our show ready for the start of football season. And all I'm looking for from you is in-depth analysis on the quarterback from Raider fans who are paying season ticket prices. Who do you want? Who do you think deserves it? It's not a difficult topic, and I like to do some really good engaging topics. I put all my life into my topics in my monologue. My first 20, 25 minutes I'll put up against anybody ever in sports radio. There's no teleprompters. There's no pencils and notes. It's just me raging for 25 minutes, and I try to put everything into that so then you have something to react to, agree, disagree, yell at me, fight me on the air, do whatever you want, but sound off like you got a pair. And we, the Raider Nation, are in the biggest debate in football. The biggest debate in football is who's going to play quarterback for this franchise this year. And I don't have the answer, and neither do you. So this is what we call a debate topic, where we got to figure out the pros and cons of all this. For our new expanding audience, I'll say this again. I think for the first two games, the experience matters a lot, and I think Gardner Minshew has more experience. But Aiden O'Connell could be what they want with an accurate passer, maybe a little bit more accurate, if that's what they see on film and camp and all that, where he can get the ball out and check down and get it to Bowers and short passes and beat the Chargers and or Baltimore or split between them. I'm more do or die. I'm more do or die. I'm like, no, this schedule jumps on us early. We better have the best players available on the field ready to play. The best. If you're Divine Diablo and you're the best linebacker, you better be ready to go. If you're Ja'Corian Bennett and they tell you you're starting, Patrick Graham goes, I'm picking you to start. You're my other corner. Okay, over Faison or who's ever competing, he better be ready to go. Same thing, Colt Miller. Can you go, Colton? You're coming off surgery. We brought you back slowly. Are you ready? Yes, good. You're starting. I don't see how Jackson Powers Johnson can play. I hope he can, but I don't see how he can play when he hasn't been on the field, period, and he's not going to be on the field. I don't think playing in this game, if he is cleared and he plays and he looks good in the last two games and then he has a week off, we have a week off before the start of the season and he's the best player, JPJ, you start. If not, we'll go with Whitehair, experienced ex-pro bowler. best guys better be ready to go, period. And then the other guys who make the team on special teams got to be really good. I made a note to myself to mention A.J. Cole again. I saw A.J., I talked to him, and I'll talk to him on the sidelines coming up here. He is an asset. I really believe from what I saw in just a sprinkling of strategy, because there's not a lot of strategy in the preseason, a sprinkling of it, is that the Raiders are very comfortable with playing conservative so far and letting him punt. So if it's third and six, and I think the Raiders on third and six should always go for a first down, right? We're not doing check down Charlie stuff unless it's Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is the only guy that I throw out that rule with. I don't care if it's third and 14, third and 9, third and 6. You can check down to Brock Bowers. I'll take my chance with him getting a first down. Nobody else. And Devontae, right? That Devontae, obviously, he makes someone miss. Devontae could be off to the races. But whoever it is, we got to be ready. Fortunately, the Raiders have the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers, two playoff teams. Both teams will play some starters. They will. And the Raiders will get their juices flowing, and they're going to play some players. Now, what I would think is if the Raiders look good in this game coming up here against the Dallas Cowboys, and they look good, right? They look good in Minneapolis. The first team starters look good. They pulled them. They had a lead, a good lead. They would have won that game if the starters played versus the Vikings. If they look good against the Cowboys, I don't mind shutting it down. I'm good. Niners are all banged up. Niners are really banged up. They're going to come in here. They're not going to play anybody. McCaffrey's not going to play. I doubt they play anybody. Then you can shut it down and shut down Max and everybody else and go. But this game coming up, we got an open practice at Allegiant Stadium in a game. You're going to see some helmets flying around. Guys are going to be making tackles and fighting to make this team. And I'm excited about that. So that's the monologue as we open it up, and that's brought to you by Golden Entertainment. You know, they have a concert series out there at the Laughlin Entertainment Center. It could be Little River Band. It could be a concert you like. Look at their schedule. You get on out there, you get a room, a dinner, you go to a concert there, you'll have an unbelievable time. They do a good job with their concerts and their summer schedule. You know, summertime is the time to go out to these concerts and have a really good time. And I've been out there, and it's a really good time. Also there, helping you out with your fantasy football draft. So you can have a good time with that because they have the draft kit. The Wi-Fi is really good. They got drink and food specials, so you can get out there for that. PT's fuels the monologue. And new members that sign up for a true rewards card during the month of August and earn 20 base points will receive $10 in free play. They got 70-plus taverns out there. You know the program as we begin. 702-365-9200. Again, we want to hear from you and get in here on the quarterback. Someone give me something new on the quarterbacks. I'm not doing a Nathan Peterman show today. I'll shake his hand. Welcome. Welcome back, Nate. You know the building. There's your locker. I got to figure out what's going on between Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. Fortunately, Chris in West Oakland, a lifetime Raider fan, will help me get some answers here. How do you see it, Chris?
I will, JT. Before I get to that, let me weigh in real quick. I want to say something about Brandon Ayuk and, you know, all these guys that are under contract. Look, I'm a player's guy. I believe get what you can get. But I'm so sick of the trend in the NFL of these guys holding out while they're under contract. It's a 5-year contract, not a 4-year contract. These guys all want their next contract before they finish their last one, and these teams all acquiesce. That being said, I would love the 49ers to trade him. I don't think Pittsburgh's a credible threat in the AFC with or without Brandon Ayuk with their quarterback situation. But Brandon Ayuk makes the 49ers significantly weaker. There's no way a team whose Super Bowl window is now trading your number one wide receiver does not make you a better team. So I'm all for it because anything that hurts the 49ers is good in my book. Let me slide on over to the Oh, you're right about concerts, JT. Nothing better than summertime. Saw YNT and Megadeth last weekend. Got Sammy Hagar coming up Saturday and Leonard Skinner. Summertime is concert season for me, not NFL preseason football. But since that's all we got, let's get into the quarterback situation. Look, I've been on record. I'm not thrilled with either one of these guys. Yeah. I think the best we can hope for is good, solid quarterback play. I don't see anything special. But that being said, this is who we got. I got to go with Gardner Minshew for one reason. In the one scramble last week where he scrambled 5 yards for a first down, that's 5 more yards than Aiden O'Connell scrambled for all last year. I think he gives them a little bit better evadability of the rush, especially if the offensive line's got questions early in the year. I think he can move around in the pocket and get the ball out, and I'm with you. I think he's got a little bit more experience. It gives them a better chance to win because you're right. I don't want to hear, well, let's give it 3 or 4 games and we'll make a change. This schedule is much, much tougher than a year ago. This team's got to come out of the gate. They've got to hit the 5 or 6 week mark with at least, I'd say, 3-2, 3-3, you know, especially with what they open the season with. If anything less than that, then we're fighting an uphill battle, and I don't want to go to the quarterback change out of necessity. Well, gee, we're 1-4. We need to make a change. So go with the guy that gives you the best chance to win early and get this season off to a good start. Chargers is a very winnable game, especially if Herbert's hurt. Baltimore is going to be tough the second week, no matter who they got at quarterback, because it's one of the best teams in football. So for my money, it's Gardner Minshew at the moment, simply because of the experience factor. He's got a little better track record. I think he gives them a better chance to win right off the bat. So that's it. Oh, finally on the defense, JT, I'll get into it a little bit more. I'll be honest with you. I watched very little of the game on Saturday. I was watching mostly the gold medal basketball game. I love Jack Jones, though. So nice that we've got a defender in the secondary that can actually track the football in the air and then catch it when it's thrown to him. Not a guy that either hits him between the numbers or drops it, or the only interceptions we get are when a ball is so overthrown it's like a punt. So I'd like to see this secondary, especially at the safety, go out and get one more ball hawk. But I love what Jones brings to this team. It's been a long time coming, and you saw in such a short order last year how valuable the guy was to him. Thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Chris likes ball hawks, guys who can catch the ball when they're thrown to him in the secondary. He's been calling me for 20 years on that topic. He's right. We need guys who can catch the football in the secondary. Jack Jones is capable of doing that. I think Trayvon Merrick is capable of doing it. Talking to coaches about Jacorian Bennett, vast improvement there. Eric Allen. That's why we bring in Eric Allen on the broadcast. I'm going to bring that. Chris calls in, gives us something good. I can use that on the broadcast and ask Eric Allen, hey, Eric, who are the ball hawks out here? Who can catch the ball and turn it over? Look who we're playing, man. Look who we're playing. Out of the gate, Justin Herbert. Lamar Jackson's the MVP of the league. He's going to have 9 days off, win or lose, and his home opener. I'm not worried about him throwing the ball, and he can make every throw. I'm running about him running a play for 50 yards if he's missed behind the line of scrimmage. That's going to be an interesting game for Christian Wilkins. And then after that, Bryce Young. Well, he's a newbie. You got to beat Bryce Young, right? Then you got Deshaun Watson. I'm looking at the quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson is elite when he plays consistently. He hasn't played consistently since what happened with the masseuses in Houston. He's been a disaster, but he's really talented. And then right after that, we have, what, the Steelers. You get the Steelers in Denver. We get Bo Nix, and I would think we get Russell Wilson, but they're screwing around with Russell Wilson talking about Justin Fields. The quarterbacks we play early, Herbert's injured. I want him at 100% because I don't root for injuries. But he's not going to be anywhere near 100%. You get Herbert, you get Lamar Jackson, who's the best along with Patrick Mahomes. And then you have quarterbacks where they might throw the ball up. You know, Bryce Young's going to make mistakes. Deshaun Watson's going to make mistakes. Bo Nix is going to make mistakes. Who in that secondary is going to jump in and make a play? 702-365-9200. Jim from Jim's Cards and Comics, my longtime friend who I've reconnected with, buddy. How are you, Jim? Go ahead.
Hey, JT. How's it going, my brother?
It's a beautiful day, Jim.
Over here at Raider Nation. I'm glad to see you talking quarterbacks today. Let me give you my hindsight on it. I think that Gardner Minshew showed that he can run the team, he can score, he can put the ball down the field. I think he's the guy we got to start with. Aiden's really good. It's kind of nice to have two guys like that that are good quarterbacks. I mean, Aiden needs a little more time. I think he doesn't run the ball. He's a pocket passer. But I think he's a long-term quarterback for us. So as far as quarterback goes, I think Minshew can extend the plays really well, and he proved that he can score. Plus, with that potent offense we've got, I can't see how you can't get down the field vertically. We got the best receivers in football, and the new tight end Bowers is just absolutely tremendous.
Wow, Jim. I love this. You worked with Daryl LaMonica, Jim Plunkett, Rich Gannon, and all your signings over the years. You got some quarterback juice with you. This sounds good.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at the old-time school here, man, when they played football really hard. And it came from the heart and the soul when they're out there on the field. But we had an offensive line. Just remember something, JT. The game is won in the trenches.
Absolutely.
If you got an offensive line, you're going to run the football, and you're going to be able to pass the ball vertically down the field because you're going to give your quarterback time to make plays. Mm-hmm. I think the upper hand on Minshew is if he doesn't have the time, he can extend it. He's no Patrick Mahomes, don't get me wrong, but at least he can extend the play. He's a pretty tough guy, and he can make it happen.
Okay.
So, you know, that's what I'm looking at as far as the quarterback goes.
You got it, buddy. We'll wait for the song. We're going to get it. Bobby has it. We'll have you on again and play it, okay?
I want to tell you a little something about it real quick.
Go ahead.
The song is for Raider Nation. We're bringing them back together here. We're going to have a video shoot down there in Vegas on game opener for the song. We're going to have a lot of good things going on with it. I'm here with the producer right now, Danny. I'm going to let him talk.
No, I can't talk to Danny now. I'll talk to him next time when we get the song. I got to move on. We'll put him on here. No doubt, Jim. I gotta wrap up my monologue. So good to hear from you. Can't pass the phone on the show. That's one rule. We can't pass the phone unless it's Fred Biletnikoff passing the phone to Phil Villapiano at a golf tournament. We can do that. But we have some new music, and we'll be able to play that music coming up here. So, look at this new Modelo hat. See, if you don't have the YouTube feed, look at this Modelo hat. Oh, my God. I got some Modelo swag yesterday from Steve Gomez. A couple of golf shirts, a couple of hoodies, and a couple of hats. And we're trying to put together a plan for the Modelo fans and the Raider fans. Modelo, proud partner of our show. You know, I have a bucket of Modelos on Friday. Can't this week until after the game because I have the opportunity to call this game against the Cowboys. I'm excited about that. We did that last year, which was interesting. Interesting game last year in the preseason. Remember it well. So that's the monologue, and we'd like to hear from you, 702-365-9200. We have... we're coming up next, we're going to have Jeff Sherman in about 15 minutes, VP of Risk Management. We can talk some gambling odds. Is it true you can gamble on the Little League World Series? You have to be a bleeping degenerate. You got to be a degenerate if you bet on kids playing baseball. I don't think that's true. Can someone get in my chat on YouTube or let me know if you're allowed to gamble, legally gamble, on the Little League World Series? If that's it, then the world's going to hell. The world is literally going to hell in a bucket. Okay? We're going to hell in a bucket if that happened. So I heard about it. I don't know if it's true, but I need to know from some gambler, and you could be a degenerate. And then the newest member of Raider Nation Radio, newest member, going to be hosting in the morning, Vince Sapienza. You hear him often here on this show. He's going in on the morning show. We're excited about him. He's got deep contacts in town, not only with the Raiders and the owner, but across town with Mr. Foley and the Golden Knights, and he covers sports as hard as anybody in this town that I've seen. So Vince is going to join us at 105. We're going to welcome him to the team here because we're a big team here over at Raider Nation Radio. Tequila Commissario is the most awarded tequila. Please go to their website. It's like something like in Paris with Tom Cruise that you would see at the closing ceremony. It's the most exotic website I've ever seen for a tequila company. The packaging, the bottles. It's like artwork in my house. I don't have a lot of art, but my Tequila Commissario bottles, when anybody walks in, they go, "What is that?" I pour it, and they say, "Oh, that's the Ferrari of tequila, Tequila Commissario."
Well, one, with our kickoff returns, we wanted to get every return possible. So, yeah, we could have probably taken the knees of some of those in the end zone, but we want to give our guys a chance to showcase their return ability, and we made some plays on some. With the kickoffs, obviously, there's, you know, two or three air kicks that Daniel, I know, wish he had back, and we all did, but, you know, that's a part of it that you're watching throughout the league. We're all learning and growing. Hell, I think the opening kickoff, if you guys are really paying attention, our guys line at the 45 and they're at the 40. The officials are all off, so it took a minute for everybody to kind of get their sorts underneath them, but you've seen everybody pretty much be vanilla in the preseason with the kickoff and how they're attacking on kickoff return. I think the key part for us is just seeing our guys run down the cover and who can make the space tackles.
It's Antonio Pierce on the kickoff. We're brought to you by the Black Hole. That's home to football's most notorious fans. Over 40 chapters worldwide. If you're a diehard Raider fan, this is your home. I'm the first to ever be inducted into their Hall of Fame. It's a proud plaque that stands in my house. And I take people into the room, my sports room, and I say, they say, what is that over there? That's my plaque from the Black Hole. I'm proud to be a part of it. You can join me in the Black Hole. All memberships are now lifetime memberships. Once a member, always a member. I talked to Mark Jones and Cisco about this. I said, clarification, please. They said, yeah, we got a membership package that you're a member for life. Go to theblackhole.com. Visit theblackhole.com today. You want to be walking into a Raider game as a member of the Black Hole. You do. It's very cool to do that. And you don't have to attend everything, but when you can and you end up with me in Miami, I'm going to Miami this year. You go to L.A. and then all of a sudden there's a party and you take out your Black Hole membership and card. You get deals, man. You get the hookup, the JT hookup. You always want to get my hookup, man. We're going to get that going here. All right, 702-365-9200 on the quarterback scenario. So what's going to happen here the rest of the week? There's a practice tonight over at the facility for some season ticket holders, I'm assuming. Then we have so I got a chalk talk tonight with Roland Williams, a former player of this team who's a lot of fun to do a chalk talk. So I'll be doing that at the stadium. And then I'm going to race over to practice and catch about an hour of practice overall and do that. And then tomorrow, we're obviously going to be tomorrow at the practice at Allegiant Stadium, the open practice. I'll be a part of that. And then we're going to get ready and we're going to prep for the Dallas Cowboy game and how that's going to look here. The Cowboys got some work to do also because for everything I'm seeing in my prep, the Cowboy writers have been coming after Jerry Jones pretty hard. The Cowboy writers and the insiders who cover this team are like, look, Jerry, you didn't do anything in the offseason. CeeDee Lamb's not playing. Dak's not happy. Dak's not making a problem about this, but Dak is pretty much telling everybody it's time for him to get paid. And fortunately for Dak, he's going to get $60 million, and he doesn't deserve it because he's got the star on his helmet. So what I would do, and I think this is a play for the Raiders next year, the Dallas Cowboys are now worth $10 billion. That report was today, and the Raiders came in over $6 billion at number 9. Man, has times changed, huh, everybody? How about that? Has times changed? And Jerry's always going to have the money to pay the players that he wants, but I wouldn't pay Dak if I was the Cowboys. I would pay Dak if I was Mark Davis and thought it was right, because I think Dak's a really good quarterback, really good. And he's one of those very, very good who could be elite. Has had some elite numbers, but you won't put him in the elite category like you put Mahomes in there. So for the Cowboys, who haven't won a Super Bowl since Dak Prescott was 2.5 years old, their last championship was January 28th, 1996. Now, according to Sportico, they released the franchise values of the top 10 NFL teams, and the Cowboys were head and shoulders atop the list, valued at $10.32 billion. They became the first sports franchise to top $10 billion. Forbes valued the Cowboys at $9 billion in September. The Los Angeles Rams come in at 7.79. They rank second, followed by the New York Giants at 7.65. I mean, the Giants started in the early 1900s. The Patriots, nice job by Robert Kraft, $7.31 billion. And the 49ers at $6.86 billion. Okay, so we're up to that. Now, here are the final teams. The New York Jets, $6.8 billion. The Miami Dolphins, $6.76 billion. How do you know the difference between 6.76 and 6.8? Come on. Then, the two NFC East reps, the Eagles are 7.65. And the Washington Commanders come in. They're listed eighth at $6.3 billion. So you got the Eagles and the Commanders. They come in at 8 and 10 and at number 9. By the way, my favorite number. When the Golden Knights came in studio, said, JT, we're giving you a number. I said number 9. That's what I wore in Little League. Number 9. At number 9. The Las Vegas Raiders, $6.7 billion. Now, I remember at one point the talking points that I had, either in Oakland or Vegas, is the stadium cost $1.9 billion and the Raiders were worth about $1.9 billion, maybe two. I remember hearing that verbatim from some people. What were the Raiders worth in Oakland? Under $2 billion. Now they come to Vegas and they're ninth overall in professional sports at $6.7 billion in the sports and entertainment capital of the world. Imagine when we start winning. We, the season ticket holders, imagine that. And start winning consistently, which I think is going to happen. It's taken a little bit longer than I thought here, but hopefully we're getting to the right side of this. What a job. Hey, look, this is a business. If you look at this business, how it was built from people who are no longer here, people who are here now, Mrs. Davis, Mark Davis, and before that, the Maverick Al Davis, one of the more expensive teams in the history of sports, now resides in Las Vegas. It's the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, good reps there for Aiden. Backed up, got his, drove all the way down the length of the field. It was close there. He was thinking about going from a fourth down, negative play. We kicked the field goal. And then Gardner came in. Three good drives. I mean, really for those both quarterbacks, all four possessions led to points on the board for the Raiders. So that was positive. There's a lot of things, obviously, we can learn from it. You know, like to see it a little bit better in the running game for us, of course. But I thought the quarterbacks responded well.
All right, that's Antonio Pierce. We got a lot of sound with him. I'll be talking to him coming up at the open practice. There could be anywhere from 30 to 40,000 fans there. I put out a voiceover. If you're a Raider fan, you got my voiceover on how to park, where to go, how to get there with the RTC. If you want to walk over from Mandalay Bay, go early. Get there early for sure. Jeff Sherman joins us, VP of Risk Management. He joins us every 2 weeks, and we appreciate his time. Jeff, let's begin. Some injuries. You know, we see J.J. McCarthy, but he's a backup quarterback competing for that. Injuries in the preseason, really not moving the needle much so far, nor does that ever when it comes into season win totals, right?
Slightly, it can. It does on the preseason lines. The Browns yesterday were minus 2.5 against Minnesota in this upcoming preseason game, and it shot up across three up to 3.5. So you'll see a more of an effect there. Maybe a slight 10-cent difference in a season win total. Nothing on week one because Sam Darnold's still expected to be the starter as he was.
What have you learned so far in preseason, especially with the unders? I see a lot of sharps on X and other social media saying they just love to pound the preseason and set the number under the total there. I'm sure that's something you adjust to. What trends have we seen so far?
Yeah, you know, it's really looking at the quarterback depth chart and going from there and seeing, you know, who's going to be playing in the second half. You know, sometimes you see first half lines that are greater than the full game lines. And, you know, just the quarterback battles, for instance, with the Raiders going on and Raiders playing Dallas this Saturday night, that line opened up as low as 3.5, 4. It's up to 7 just because of the thinking of the Raiders playing two potential starters in the game. So a lot of that type of analysis.
Move on to the NBA. I know you got up the NBA season win total. I was looking at the Knicks and the Lakers, obviously the Boston Celtics. Let's start with Boston. Considering how dominant they were last year in the postseason and they're bringing everybody back, where do you have the Celtics in the repeat?
Yeah, open up the highest one at 58.5, and it's really rare that you see teams near 60. But after what they've done and bringing their entire squad back, we're up there almost touching 60. So I tried to get something aggressively high on them.
Is there another team that added a lot here, considering what they've done into the draft and free agency that drastically moved more than you thought, and there's some support?
There wasn't too much movement. It was kind of a quiet offseason this year, and the most notable one was Paul George going to the 76ers. And we started them at 53.5, same as your Knicks number there, 53.5. So, you know, 76ers won 47 last year, and Embiid was hurt. Tried to move them up a little bit with the addition of Paul George and then some veteran free agents they signed, too.
I know you got Christmas games up already. Tell me about that overall and the number and the handle that you get this early with Christmas being that far out.
Yeah, it's not too much handle. You know, we put up the two games opening night and then the five games for Christmas, and it's more of something to get talked about and just get the juices flowing and, you know, people to see what our power ratings are at this point in this, you know, before the season starts. So just something to add to our betting menu, and I always like doing things as early as we can with that.
Jeff Sherman is our guest. And with the Super Contest, just wanted to get an update for you and our audience. A lot of it's national. You guys are the best. You're the sharpest casino with the sharpest lines. No one debates that. There are some other people involved in that industry with contests also. What makes the Super Contest at the Westgate the longstanding best one?
Well, the consistency of it. You know, we've done picking five games against the spread, and you know how you have to approach it. Then we've added some mini contests throughout the season, so we've been expanding that aspect too to try to have more than one contest available. We've added the gold contest, which is a $5,000 entry fee, winner take all. So something that's you know, for the professionals like to get in more than amateurs or novice bettors. So we've tried to expand it over the years, but we have the mainstay of what the contest is about, picking the five against the spread, so you have action all season long.
VP of Risk Management, Jeff Sherman, over at the Superbook at the Westgate. I'm looking at baseball standings, and the Guardians have the same exact record as the Dodgers. I didn't see that coming for the start of the year there. The Dodgers are clearly a loaded team. My Yankees are giving me just... I can't sleep after losing to the White Sox last night there, but it's the Orioles and the Yankees. Winner wins the division. The other team should be a wild card team, but the Padres have come on strong as of late here. The Padres have been rolling 8 of their last 10 games, and they're climbing the standings.
Yeah, the Padres and Diamondbacks are both creeping up on the Dodgers for the division, so we've eased the Dodgers out. And, you know, they're 4-1 favorites to win the World Series, which they've always been less than that. And as you mentioned, San Diego down to 16-1 and Arizona down to 20-1, so a little bit of condensing of the odds there.
Jeff, I know you don't take Little League. There's no... In the United States, there's no jurisdiction for Little League World Series, but I guess some people can bet it offshore, which was shocking to me when I found that out today.
Yeah, you know, it's a funny story is, you know, back in the 90s at the Imperial Palace, we actually did book Little League when there were no regulations of gaming and baseball was on strike, so we had to offer something, so we did back then. But since that point, regulations have come in, and you don't see it in any legal jurisdiction, just the offshore websites.
Finally, Jeff, give me something on golf going forward here, because I know you're booking LIV and you're taking a look at the FedEx Cup title overall, where Scottie Scheffler won the Olympic gold medal. That was a great story over in Paris here. What's coming up with golf? Fill us in on the schedule.
Yeah, well, we have the start of the playoffs this week with the FedEx St. Jude Championship in Memphis. And, of course, Scottie Scheffler is a 7-2 favorite. And if you want to play him for the FedEx Cup, which is the winner at the conclusion of the Tour Championship, he's minus 110 because he theoretically could start out with a two-stroke lead going into the tournament if he can hold on to that position. So we have a three-week stretch here, PGA Tour playoffs, so you're going to get the quality players playing these next 3 weeks.
Great. Thank you, Jeff. We'll see you over at the book. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, JT.
That's Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate, the Superbook. We will make sure. We get the gambling stuff, I keep tight. It's Jeff Sherman. He's a wizard. Right, he got all the lines for us. Going to be very important to us, an asset during football season. Bill Krakenberger, professional sports winning gambler. Lee Sterling joins me again this year. And we're going to add another gaming insider in here for the NFL and college football as we continue to expand the show. We wanted to welcome back Virgin Hotels Las Vegas here. Virgin Hotels is where my DNA is as a fan of just going out and watching concerts. Because I met my wife walking in from the center bar into the joint at the time for the Rolling Stones. Now it's Virgin Hotels, and Cliff Atkinson's going to join us next week. The president over there, they've greatly expanded their pool. While complimentary for guests, it's ideal for staycations or for non-hotel guests. You can escape anytime for just $25 on passes, plus local specials for cabanas and exclusive resident offers are available. In fact, a few months ago, part of the renovation includes the Cassie Beach Club. That upscale tropical paradise covers three different pools. Plan your getaway at Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. And you see me all over there, from one steakhouse with my buddy J.O.D. and the legendary Michael Morton to all the other establishments I like there. When there's great concerts over there, I just race over there to have a whole night. From the beginning, from dinner, all the way through the show till afterwards. A lot of my original bartenders are still there. Great place to be. All right, that hour flew by. Vince Sapienza will join us next. He's our newest member of our team here on the morning show. And, you know, in radio, guys and gals come and go, but they're all part of the team. If they were here in the past, they're part of our family. If they're new, they're part of our family. And we welcome Vince Sapienza, who y'all know Vince. He's been on my show for years. And he's a good guy, and he knows sports really good, and he's embedded with the Raiders. So you have another Raider mind and another Raider voice in mornings as we get going here. I'm keeping an eye on Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter today to find out if there's going to be any more breaking news on these contracts. Russell Baxter is going to join us next hour from Fansided on a couple of these players who are still available. So we'll dive into that. And what does J.J. McCarthy's knee injury mean for the Vikings? It means Sam Darnold doesn't have to look over his shoulder. He's going to need knee surgery after playing the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't recall the injury. I don't know if you did, but they've been talking about it. He was sore afterwards, comes back the next day, and that's what happens. Unbelievable. Unbelievable here. And the Browns have some problems. We're going to be talking about that. Defensive tackle Mike Hall Jr. charged with domestic violence in Avon, Ohio, after allegedly threatening a woman with a gun Monday night. Hall was arrested and booked Tuesday, which is today. He pleaded not guilty. According to a police report, Hall grabbed the handgun during an argument, pressed it against a woman's temple, and threatened, "I will blank end it all. I don't care." Well, you can't have people on your team doing that. You can't have that. We play the Browns. We play the Browns early in the season, and they're coming, man. Oh, they're coming. Oh, well, believe me, the Browns fans are coming. Hold your tickets. Remember, I'll only say it a few times. Hold your tickets. But some people, Bobby, hold to sell for higher prices to the opposition. You know who doesn't do that? Fabian. Fabian's in my live chat. You don't sell. You don't do that. I see him at my seats. You know, I like to give my tickets away to friends and families of Raider Nation or my family. But, you know, we got to take over that place a little bit better this year. We all know that. That's why Modelo, the Black Hole, the Raider organization, doing more fan-friendly interactive events there. There's an opportunity to tailgate outside but inside a suite. Woo! You don't think JT the Brick's going to be knocking on that window in the third person, pointing at some Modelo cool off there in the tailgate? And then new information on the Black Hole. As they move from the parking lot to their new tailgate location, Cisco and Mark Jones will come on and announce that when we get ready to go. Bobby, I have a high word count today. I got an event tonight and a practice tomorrow. Let's get my word count down. Talking a lot, man, in the summer. Talking a lot more than I wanted to talk in the summer, man. I get paid to talk. I get paid to drink Modelo. Paid to drink Tito's and Remy Martin. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad life. It's all good, Raider Nation. Let's do it. We got a couple of nights coming up this week to see you out at some practices. Hope you show up.